Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the service last Sunday, when I was reading the announcements for events taking place during the rest of the month, I was struck by the listing of today's sermon. What was printed was, "So Send You." I was sure there was something wrong in that title, though I knew it was exactly what I gave Nancy, who does such a good job at printing these bulletins each week. I knew I had taken my title from a verse in the scripture lesson from the 20th chapter of John, which is the lectionary gospel reading for this Pentecost Sunday. I checked that verse later in the day, and it is now printed in your morning bulletin as my text. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. Well, when I was preparing this week's email, which I trust most of you received, I made that correction. And so I have another comment to make about today's sermon before I bring you the message. On Thursday afternoon, I went out to dinner with my friend Doug, who receives our email every week. He saw the title for today and said to me, "Now, Tom, I know you have a love relationship with your congregation, but don't you think you have an inflated ego, a pretty high opinion of yourself, if you really think you can say to them, quote, 'So I send you'?" And then he started to make fun of me. And with a twinkle in his eye, he repeated the words in kind of an exaggerated, cutesy tone. "And so I send you." My good friends of Old South Haven, I'm only repeating the words of Jesus to his disciples, both his disciples then and us today, who would follow in the footsteps of those disciples. "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." Words which I feel are the true message of Pentecost. You see, normally when we look at Pentecost, we see it as a great coming together. But it's also a great sending forth. Normally when we look at Pentecost, we lift up those words which Claudia read today about how they were all gathered together in one place. And as preachers talk about Christian unity and what it means to be all together, even though we, similar to that early community, come from different places, different languages, different lifestyles, it's difficult to talk about us being unified, even despite our differences. But we talk about a unity in the church that is not uniformity. And I trust you keep that in mind, because to me, the beauty of the church is a unity, but not a uniformity. We talk about what we hold in common, for we are one holy Catholic, that is universal, apostolic church. There's only one body of which each of us is a very important part. There's one Spirit, there's one Lord, one faith, though we may express it in different ways. There's one baptism, whether it's done by immersion in a pool or river, or by pouring water over the baptized one, or by sprinkling, or by our Presbyterian genteel touch to the forehead. Yes, on Pentecost we stress our oneness, though often it's difficult to live out that oneness. For not only are there marked separations between denominations, over a couple of hundred of them, and marked separations within our denominations, Episcopal congregations and priests who want nothing to do with other Episcopal congregations and priests, and that runs through all denominations, even through our Presbyterian denomination. There's a group of Presbyterian congregations right now who call themselves part of the confessing movement, who want nothing to do with other Presbyterian churches because we don't voice our confession of faith in the very same words that they do. Yes, there's good reason that on Pentecost Sunday we need to stress the theme of unity and oneness because we need that so much as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world today. But there's another theme that I think is just as important. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. One preacher years ago put it this way. We gather to scatter. Yes, it's important that we gather together. You can't be a Christian in isolation. You can't worship the God of our Lord Jesus Christ as simply a solo endeavor. A Christian is baptized into a community, and that community nourishes you. It sustains you. It instructs you. It consoles you. You need the church. You need that larger community. Yes, I hear those people, good people, who tell me all the time that they see no reason to come to church. They practice their Christianity on their own. I'm sorry, but I have to say that's really impossible. Yes, I hear those who say the church is just a bureaucracy, that in some places it's corrupt. In some places it's simply self-serving, that it's full of hypocrites. Yes, I know all that. It's been like that for decades, and certainly during the 5 decades that I've been a preacher. But despite all that, the church remains the trunk of the tree, and branches are not going to live apart from it. Yes, we need to gather, and the image of Pentecost speaks to that. They were all together in one place. That's a great experience. But it doesn't end there. We gather to scatter. And in fact, that is our purpose in gathering. In coming together for worship and education and fellowship and caring for one another, upholding one another in such a way so that when we leave our gathered community and we go into our various worlds in which we participate, in which we live and work and play, we bring that with us. When we go into our social and economic and political world that in many ways shapes us, but to play a role because of our gathering together, to play a role in shaping those worlds and the larger world in which we live. Now, you've heard me say that in various ways, and yet I would dare say none of us is too faithful to Christ's call to do that. You see, our job is not to build bigger and bigger congregations. Though all congregations want to say that it's important to add members. But that's not our primary task. The task to which Jesus calls us. All congregations would want to say they would love to have more and more exciting programs that would hold the interest of its members and also appeal to the community at large. Programs that be well attended. But that's not our primary task. The task to which Jesus calls us. All congregations would love to increase their budgets, to get more members to give at least 3% of their yearly income to the work of the Lord through a particular congregation. Richard's ready to say amen. Yeah. Yes, that's important to churches, but that's not our primary task. The task to which our Lord calls us. You see, we have it wrong if we define committed Christians in terms of their church membership, their participation, in terms of their time, talent, and treasure to the life, the internal life of the congregation, so that the local congregation is a very well-run institution. Real commitment is to be seen in terms of how you live your life out there. When you move from being gathered to being the scattered people. And that's the really hard part of all this business that we call being a Christian. The Gospel of John says that right after he gave his followers those walking papers, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is to be experienced in the Christian community when that community is about the task to which Jesus calls us. To do the work which Jesus did, which was the work of his Father. And what was that? Jesus defined it when he first set out in his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And our gospel lesson says, the Spirit is upon you, you and I. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, said Jesus, he has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I wonder if we could put that in personal terms, maybe something like this. The Spirit of the Lord we experience when we acknowledge that that Spirit was given to us at the time of our baptism and was given and also was given to us the task to bring good news to all those individuals just eking out existence today. Those individuals locally living on our streets, in our homeless shelters, because they don't have money or a place to live. Those individuals around the world in our global village whose pictures we see on television and in the newspapers, people starving, people homeless, sometimes because of war. He has called us also to release prisoners. Oh, yes. There are some individuals who need to be confined because they are dangerous to themselves and certainly to others. But we also know that our jails and prisons have large populations of people who could benefit themselves and could benefit society much more in prison release community service programs than simply sitting there wasting away in a jail. He has called us to bring sight to the blind, so many blind to the truth. And Christians are called to proclaim that truth with power. He calls us as well to address the manner of oppression and to let oppressed people go free. And certainly in our day, that's a call to address the whole matter of racism and sexism, ageism, heterosexism, so that all individuals might live out their lives with the freedom to be who they were created and called upon to be. So it's Pentecost Sunday. And here again, Christ's message to his disciples that led his disciples then and now to go forth. As the Father has sent me, even so I now send you. I send you into the world that needs and awaits that gospel, the good news. I can't end this sermon without saying, so be it. Amen.